on the final piece in the Tivatnias, and I understood Olam would like to try the sieve Zerizas next. I think they're all fine. I don't have any particular preference one way or another. So let's finish Nitziv Atzniyas. So he says like this here. He brings a Chazal. V'amar of Chitzta. Kol ha-menavu piv ma'amikim lo gehenim. V'pirushik ma'ashamarnu. V'kashu chute v'dovah shu sikhli. Roye shiye lo gehenim. So the first thing is the reason why Gehenim is appropriate is because this is a much deeper Avera, like we explained before. This is what makes this Avera more particularly difficult, is because it comes in a place where a person should be good, and the fact that the person is not good over there makes it much worse. Why Gehenim? What's the inyan of mamikim or Gehenim? Sha Gehenim hu hepsit shal adam. Ki choshev be Gehenim shubulti nimtza kasha hu besucha. The desh of akosov kisucha muka pizaris. So he says that Gehenim is especially appropriate because he's chashav a bulti nimtza, as if he were buried in a hole, and he brings the pasuk kisucha muka pizaris. Now this is a nekuda. This is the inyan that the Maral speaks in many places about Gehenim being a heder. And I'd like to try to explain it a little bit. The one who actually has a fascinating explanation, I guess it's very, very similar to it, is the Avdesla. Avdesla in his first Sefer, the first Chelek, somewhere towards the end, speaks a little bit about it. And he says a remarkable Hesper. When we speak of Gehenim, we kind of think of people roasting over fires. It's what our good vicars and preachers have given us for the past millennium or two. And, fire being the most painful, excruciatingly painful, physical pain that we can imagine. But if you're talking about emotionally, there's a much deeper nekuda. A person, this is Rav Dessler, a person's first sense is to exist. That's a person's first sense of what a person wants, desires, is existence. And that's fine, that we understand well. But we also want to exist klapi, a world around us, and both to be part and to exist for the other. Let's imagine the following scenario. Imagine that a person gets stuck. He has a rocket ship, and he was sent out to Venus or to Mars to explore them, or to Jupiter. And he gets there, and the rocket ship has some souls that can manufacture food and water and air forever and ever. No problems. But as he lands, if some sort of something happens, and his rocket ship can't work to take him back, ever, and he has no communications whatsoever, he with them, nor with them at Earth. So we're now stuck in Jupiter and Saturn forever and ever, and all our needs are taken care of, but no ability of existing in the context of the other. In other words, basically a non-existent in that sense. What would we feel like? Is there someone now on? Or okay. The
I just I'm sorry about the time late.
So picture that situation. We are living, aware of our non-existence. I remember when I was younger, and I used to read about jail, and the worst part of jail was solitary confinement. When you understand who the other people in jail are, one would imagine solitary confinement would be great. Private room. You know, you usually pay more for private room. And the answer is no. A person's sense of non-existence becomes most painful thing. Even if I know that I exist, but I don't exist. So I'm stuck on Saturn and Jupiter, and my existence, I'm physically around, but I don't have any existence clap or the other, then in my mind, I'm non-existent. That is probably the greatest and most excruciating pain of a person. It's one of the reasons that makes jail a punishment. For some people, it's that I can't earn money outside. But for many people, it's that I no longer exist as part of society. And that's a very, very depressing and difficult thought. Gehenna is non-existence. Chet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, the Rishonim say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's basic, most basic, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's most basic attribute is existence, is Havaya. And anytime we, in the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, we give up, okay. They're trying to speak about the any time a person has a nihilistic type of feelings, outlook, etc. Those are all anti HaKadosh Baruch Hu type of feelings. Sorry, someone said something. All right, those are all things that are non. There's the antithesis, destruction, korban, nihilism, or shame nihilism. Those are anti-godly hargashas, the etzim. So the person who is a chayte, if we're to ask ourselves, chet is the opposite of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Gehenna is the makom for the chotim. So that means it's a place that its mitzvah is anti what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been designated as Havaya, this is the makom of non-Havaya. That's the right way to describe it. And the makom of non-Havaya is Gehenna. So it's where the person perceives non-existence. He is there and has nothing around him. And no sense of that which is around it. It is one of the tremendous yisurim of people when they get old and they have Alzheimer's. So the tsar for the person who is seeing a beloved, you know, ill and so on is a very, very big tsar. But for the person who sees around him a world that is meaningless. Imagine if somebody is sort of parachuted us out into Indonesia. And we wouldn't have any problems of anti-Semitism. You know, we wouldn't have any physical problems. We'd have food, let's say, whatever it is. But we'd be in Indonesia. That would be our Matthias. We would be terribly, terribly depressed because we don't have a Matthias. It's not the world. So a person who suffers from Alzheimer's is living in a world that is totally alien to him, as far as he's concerned, he doesn't really exist. He doesn't have a sense of existence. So that's the sucha. So if a person is pegea in Hebrew, that's where he is pegea in that English. I want to add another nekuda to it. Yes.
Okay. What we've been learning, I've taken out of this Nesivah Sneet, is that the Makam HaTnua you know, it's almost the binyan of the Adam Bifnim, the panemius of the person.
Right.
Isn't that a bit contrary to what we're saying here? Meaning the whole thing is to grow in one's ability to be by oneself, to think by oneself, and not to have to share an experience because of others.
It's interesting. I was last week in Atlanta for Shabbos. They had a Shabbos chizuk, my good, a few rabbonim and Avish Brot, and so on. It's very, very nice. But I guess the theme they wanted to speak about was actually tznius. I think more practical down to earth than the morale. They're just, you know, kind of. But so once the Shabbos, I was speaking about it, and the point that I made was that in the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, the Rambam mentions all sorts of extremes. You know, somebody who is apathetic versus somebody who flies off the handle very easily, somebody who is tight-fisted versus somebody that's reckless with his money and so on. All of the extremes that Rambam speaks about. So, every Midah has its extremes. There's nothing in common, especially. It's just extremes, you know, it's not, no hard defining commonness. So I wanted, using the mission of Eitz Derech Yisharei Shovelei Adam, Koshet Eretz Lo, you know, Adam, Tzibetum and Oseah, I wanted to understand it as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So, the Maral says this in a lot of places. A person has three chiburim. The chibur with those beneath him, a Rav to a Talmud, the chibur to those above him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the chibur to the equal, to the one who is with you, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that chibur. That chibur requires two inyanim. A, that I be an other member, and B, that I be mischaber. So, for instance, let's take an example of two. Let's take two extremes. A person who walks around with filthy, smelly clothing and so on, really, really bad clothing, the message that he sends to the other is, I really couldn't care less about you. I'm not interested in you. Don't want your friendship. Don't want your closeness. I want you away. A person who's tight-fisted, the message is, I don't care for you, I don't care about you, won't have nothing to do with you. Same thing for apathetic. When you're apathetic, you send a message to a person, your approval or disapproval, like or dislike, doesn't mean anything to me. The flip side is when I dress provocatively, when I dress flashily, gaudily, design a label outside, the statement is, unless you take notice of me, I don't exist. I need you to look at me to say, ooh, for me to exist. Usually that's the me and Pazranis. The people who have that Nitiya Pazranis, the kid in the class who's buying things to everybody, usually it's because he needs them to think of him as being extremely nice and kind and good and so on and so forth. The person who flies off the handle is because he's dependent on other people. And, you know, and therefore every time he gets messed up, he's mensch. Because he's only good, you know, he needs the other people, and therefore every slight makes him very, very upset. The person needs, the shleimus that Baruch Hu wants in the world is that each person be a person unto himself and relate to the other, be mischaber, miskasha to the other. So, usually for us, most of our Nisoyim today, especially happens to be, that we don't exist unless the other person gives us our existence. That's why dress becomes very important. I need people to stare, whatever. There's an expression, somebody once said, in Yiddish it goes extremely well, and I guess English will also go fine. It goes, ich bin ich, weil ich bin ich. Und du bist du, weil du bist du. Bin ich ich, und du bist du. Meaning, if I am me, because I am me. and you are you because you are you, then I indeed am I, and you indeed are you. Aber ich bin ich, weil du bist du. Und du bist du, weil ich bin ich, is nicht ich bin ich, nicht du bist du. In other words, but if I am I because of who you are, and you are you because of who I am, so then neither I am I nor you are you. So in other words, to be mischaber to the other, you need to have both qualities. And the best place where you can see this, for instance, is